it's John and Casey here from Are You Real? And we've been sleeping on MyPillow now for over a month. And I'm telling you, our sleep has improved drastically. So what are you waiting for? When are you going to jump on board and start experiencing the kind of restorative sleep you need in your life? Are you waiting for a better offer? Well, your wait is over, because if you go to MyPillow.com right now, you can take advantage of the MyPillow 4-pack offer. Right, John?
That's right. You get two premium MyPillows and two to-go anywhere pillows at half off. Just go to MyPillow.com, use my code REAL, and get 50% off. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, and enter promo code REAL. Or call 1-800-943-4615. But don't forget, you got to use promo code REAL.
Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and I am fired up for today's interview. Let me tell you guys why, as I stutter over my tongue as usual, but that's okay. I've been given the opportunity to interview an athlete, somebody with who works for now the Seattle Seahawks, who has played football, which I love. I played college ball, which we haven't even talked about yet. And the reason I'm excited about this, guys, because it's just I love God's stories and how God just shows up in people's lives. And when you're willing to surrender or be open to what God has for you, crazy things can just happen. So that being said, Ben, are you ready to fired up to do this thing?
John, if you think you're fired up, I'm more fired up. Let's go.
Come on, somebody. All right. So Roar Nation, Ben Malcolmson is the Director of External Relations and Assistant to Seattle Seahawks Head Coach Pete Carroll. He has a print journalism degree from USC, where he met the coach, and has written over 200 articles for many outlets, including the Associated Press, US Today, and Sports Illustrated. His story has been featured in New York Times and the LA Times. Ben is dedicated to mentoring young people. He has shared his story on college campuses, corporate events, churches, and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and Young Life events. Man, we love Young Life. If you guys want to check more out on Ben, you can check him out on his website, which we will release later. So, all right, Ben. Dude, I have so many questions, because I actually went back and I Googled your name before we even started. And I was like, I want to read stuff and releases and stuff. So before we dive in and I talk about some of the things that I've read, why don't you just kind of give us a little bit of back history, a 30,000 foot overview of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so I'm currently the assistant to Coach Carroll up with the Seattle Seahawks, just kind of his right hand guy. And I've been in this role 9 years up in Seattle, and then 3 years down at USC, where he was the head coach. The University of Southern California beforehand. And the way I got to that role was, I was a journalism major. I was writing for the school newspaper at USC, and I wanted to do a story on walk-ons, the guys that are kind of the end of the bench, don't get much attention, and definitely aren't on the front page of the newspaper. They're not on SportsCenter. So I figured, why don't I give them some attention and write a little story about them? And through the process of interviewing some guys and researching it, I saw a little alert saying that walk-on tryouts were coming up. And USC, it's kind of unique where they just do an open casting call. Any student there at USC can come and try out for the football team. And this was back in the days where USC was number one in the country, just year after year. So it was kind of the glory days. And I was like, okay, well, I need to go through that tryout. I need to give a first person perspective. And it'll be pretty funny, because I hadn't played football since fifth grade. I was small, I was skinny, and I was a newspaper reporter. I mean, it just, nothing made sense. You know, I was just going to go through the tryout almost as a joke and show how hard it was and then write my story. And 2 days later, after the tryout, I get a phone call saying I made the team. And I was more shocked than anyone in the world. I mean, it never even crossed my mind that I could have made the team. But there I was on the team, and that began an incredible journey that I hope we get into in the next little bit. And And here we are 12 years later, I'm still associated with Coach Carroll, still working for him, and it's been an amazing run.
I'm laughing because at the beginning you said the walk-ons who don't get any attention, they're sitting at the end of the bench. And then I'm laughing because now you've written a book and you're getting in, and you're in all these big publications on podcasts, stuff like that, and you're the walk-on.
So, well, I guess I achieved my goals.
Yeah, that's pretty hilarious. Okay, so let's back up. We are all about purpose and like kind of discovering God's will for our life. And I think that's ultimately what everybody wants to. So what about, and let's go back to when you started. So why did you pick journalism? What was the process of going to school for journalism, and why did you pick that?
Yeah, my freshman year of college, I was just kind of floating aimlessly. I didn't really have a direction. I changed my major 3 times during freshman year. And I wasn't really doing anything productive or really fruitful with my life at all. Just kind of floating around, going to the cafeteria, playing video games, going to class, playing basketball, you know, but there was no purpose. There was no direction to my life. And so that summer after my freshman year, I kind of hit a fork in the road and I'm like, what do I want to do? You know, what is my purpose? You know, I just kind of floating through life, isn't cutting it for me. And I just kind of had this hole. That I felt like I was missing something. And right around that time, Switchfoot, you know, the band, they came out with a song that was, "This Is Your Life, Are You Who You Want to Be?" And it just rocked me. I mean, it was hitting me so deeply that this is my life and it's not who I want to be. I don't want to just be the guy that's floating through life. I want to find out my purpose. I want to find out why God has me here on this earth. And so I started to press into that, and I figured I need to figure out kind of what I want to do with my life. I need to figure out a major that I really enjoy and study something that I want to go into down the road. And I love sports, and I figured I was a pretty decent writer. So the two of those together, why don't I be a sports writer? And so I started applying for the journalism school and started working for the school newspaper. And that started me on a journey, kind of a domino effect from there that I'm still living out today, 15 years later. So it's just crazy the way God kind of stirs up in our hearts and kind of plants things in our hearts that we can't see the fruition of. We can't see the end result. And the crazy thing is I'm still living it out, and I still can't see the end result, but I'm starting to see just with that hindsight perspective, like, wow, like if he didn't stir up in me that summer after freshman year, I wouldn't be here today.
So I like what you said, and just correct me if I'm wrong, but like you talked about getting stirred up. So, I mean, was that when you made, I'm guessing, a decision to say like, Lord, I don't want to be aimless, and I want, you were talking about that song. Is that at that point because you were purposeful about like asking the Lord, why did you create me? Did you feel like because you were purposeful about that, something happened and then you felt stirred?
Yeah, totally. I was reading Romans 12, and Romans 12 says, offer your body as a living sacrifice. And this is how you find out God's will for your life, is if you give him your life, if you surrender your life to him. And I was just reading through that, and I was just like, wow, like I had known about God my whole life. I'd grown up going to church. I'd grown up going to Sunday school and the vacation Bible school and doing all the church things, and I knew all the answers about God, but he was so academic to me. And he was just, this guy in the sky, and I knew all about him, but I didn't know him personally. And so I started my freshman year, I started reading Romans 12, and I was surrounded by some really great people that really pointed me towards this fulfilling, abundant life that God offers when we surrender ourselves to him. And when we say, God, I want to offer myself to you. And that's what started to stir up in me, because I realized like I can't be Lord of my life if I want to find this abundance and this fulfillment that only he can offer. And so that was stirring up in me, where I was feeling empty. I was feeling like I didn't have that fulfillment. And that led me to the feet of the cross and to Jesus, really, and to continue to surrender my life to him. And then he stirred up in me my passions and all that.
I love it. I love that story. Okay, so we're going to jump forward. So you decide to write. You're writing for the newspaper. You go out for football. Let's talk a little bit about, I played college ball, not at your level. I played a Division II small school.
No, I love it. What position?
I played tail. I'm a small guy. People always go, "You played football in college?" Because I'm only I'm only 5'6", but I ran a 4.440, a legit one, and I played tailback, and I got a full ride to play.
Wow,
which was really cool. I played both ways in high school, and then I got recruited to play tailback, and I wanted to go play like European ball or just some. I wanted to go. There were several guys actually in college at my D2 school that actually got drafted. So that was always like a hope, but God totally like sidetracked me, had other plans. but that being said, I'm just laughing because and I want you to get into your experience, 'cause I know you had this too, but I'll never forget this. We're playing, we're running a scrub offense against first string D, and they have me go out for just a little out. And I'm in the backfield, and I go out for an out, and I just wasn't paying attention, and I thought they were playing man, and the guys drop back, and I'm like, oh, he's playing man, I'm open. Well, I didn't realize they were playing zone, and I caught ball, and this guy stuck his helmet in my ribs.
Oh no.
And I thought he broke my rib cage. Like, I've never experienced that much pain that I can remember in my entire life. Like, I couldn't take a breath. Like, I sounded like I was having an asthma attack.
Oh no.
And, I kind of get over back to the coach, and the coach looks at me. He's like, "You all right?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And, he's like, "Well, take a breath." And I couldn't even breathe. And he looks over me, I'll never forget. And he says, "Welcome to college football, son." And I was just like, is this what the next 4 years is going to be like? Because this sucks, man. So I want to hear your stories, because I'm thinking those boys over at USC are like monstrous. So you had to have you got to have a couple good ones like that.
Well, I think we can talk for hours of these kinds of stories there. I mean, there's so many of those moments where you're just in so much pain, and it's like, am I going to be able to live? You know, like, am I going to survive this? This is crazy. I remember, I mean, I didn't play football since fifth grade. And so, I mean, in fifth grade, it's not really football. You know, you're kind of like, you touch someone and they fall to the ground. There's not really like hard hitting or anything like that. And so I didn't know what it was going to be like to take a hit. And so I'm kind of anticipating, kind of dreaming in my mind, like, how painful is this going to be? And I remember my first hit, I get popped right in the chin, just helmet right in the chin. My chin strap breaks. I'm on the ground. My face is in the dirt. And I'm like, oh, wow, I survived. Okay, I can do this. And it was kind of a victorious moment for me. I was like, okay, I can move on. I can survive. This will be good. There was one that was probably one of the most memorable ones, even though I don't really remember it much in the moment. But I was playing scout team kickoff return team, going against the number one kickoff team. And so I have to run down the field, turn around and block a guy. And the guy I'm blocking turns out to be a second round draft pick in the NFL, played a 10 year career in the NFL. And I have to go turn around and block him. He's almost 100 pounds more than me, way faster than me. So I get turn around and we lock eyes. And the next thing I know, I'm standing on the sideline. So I was seeing stars. I don't remember what happened really from there. I know I was in a lot of pain, but he kind of ran through me like a freight train. And thankfully, I lived to see another day. But it was crazy. And I mean, that team, USC, I think there were 50 guys that ended up being drafted on that one team. And so there was almost
50 guys.
Yeah, it was almost an entire NFL roster on that one team. It's just crazy. I mean, it was back in the days when USC was just stockpiling NFL talent, you know, just crazy. And so just to be a part of that, I mean, I did not belong at all. And there I was taking hits, and I was trying to give hits. I mean, I would kind of bounce off guys when I gave hits because I was way smaller, but I was trying my hardest.
So I'm just curious, how did you make the team? Take us through that process a little bit, because I mean, nothing about it honestly makes sense at all, because I mean, you haven't played football in a lot of years. You walk on, like, what did you get on for? Like, why did Coach Carroll even say, hey, like, yeah, we like you, man. Let's hang out with us.
Well, that's the crazy thing. I thought when I found out I made the team, I thought Coach was pulling a prank on me. Because he's renowned for pulling pranks. I mean, you can go on YouTube right now and type in Pete Carroll prank and 20 of them will show up. And so I was like, oh man, I'm going to be the butt end of his latest prank. This is not fun. And so I walk into the office and there's Coach, and I was like, Coach, prank's over, you know, like just shoot straight with me here. And he's like, no, you can catch the ball and you can run fast. We want you on the team. And so I guess I did pretty well for myself at the tryout, which is mind blowing because I hadn't played football in 11 years. And, there I was. And so, I mean, I ran a pretty good 40 time and, was catching balls. I mean, I didn't really even know what position to try out for at the tryout because I just had no background. And so I figured, okay, I'll just be a wide receiver, you know, and there I am out playing wide receiver and, in the tryout, and I caught a few balls and ran a good 40 time. And I think Coach Carroll kind of enjoys the unique stories and was like, oh, let's give this kid a try. And I asked him years later, just a few years ago, I asked him, really, why did you put me on there? And he said, well, you were athletic and we wanted to give you a try. And thankfully it all worked out in the end.
So I'm just curious, what did that look like for you? What did you end up playing, 1 year, 2 years?
It was my senior year when I tried out. So I just had that 1 year to play.
Now, because you made the choice to do that, you just kind of stepped out in faith, which I love. Where, besides the fact you ended up becoming his assistant, like just even that year, how was that a game changer for you, just stepping out in faith and making the team?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's changed my life in many ways. It was put in a position that I never really planned for. I never really expected. And it's just, it put me on this precipice of only God, you know, like only God could put me in that place. And it really put me in this trajectory in life of, I want to be in those places more. I want to be standing on the kind of the edge of wonder and that edge of awe more and more, where being in places where it's like, okay, only God could put me here. So I'm going to keep making those steps of faith. And it's emboldened me. It's given me a lot of courage for other things in life. And then that 1 year, I mean, hopefully we can get into it more later, but just the faith element of that 1 year and the way that God, really just showed up and really had me there on that team for an incredible purpose.
I do want to go back to that, but you made the comment, you said, only God can put me here. I'm in the process of writing a book right now. And what I'm writing about is like prophetic words and like words that are spoken that we speak over our life from heaven.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious because the reason this is stern in me is you said only God can put me here. Is that like, I don't know, I don't want to say like an inspirational quote, but is that like something that just stirs in you constantly? I'm asking, and that maybe it's a driving force to where like God is just showing up a lot in really crazy ways for you because that's what you're pursuing. And that's like things that you're saying, like, God, what are you going to do? Like there's a... And I'm sorry I'm fumbling through this, but I'm just trying to think there's, but almost like a level of expectation that you're setting on God to say, God, what can you do?
Totally. It's kind of living in this expectancy where it's just like constant, like in the message version of Romans 8, it says, what's next, Papa? You know, you're just kind of living with this mentality of, okay, God, what's next? You know, like what are you going to do next? And there's never like dull, like, oh, just kind of fumbling through life, like just kind of like slogging through life, you know, just like, but there's this expectancy, even on days where nothing really exciting happens, you have this expectancy of God's going to show up, you know, and it could just be another day where you wake up, you go to work, you come home, you eat dinner, you watch a TV show and you go to bed. But just having that expectancy of, okay, God showed up somehow today. And if I can't feel it, I've got to be more aware tomorrow. I want to see what God's going to do tomorrow, you know, and just having that hope and that excitement and that expectancy of God's going to show up in some cool and crazy way. And just kind of being on the edge of your seat waiting for that to happen, because way more often than not, he will show up.
I love that, man. I just love that you've set that within your heart, because what I see is because of that, that God is showing up and doing radical things in your life.
Totally. I mean, he constantly responds to faith in all of our lives. Like he desires to respond to faith. So when we continue to take those steps of faith in tiny little ways and big ways, whatever it may be, he's always going to show up. He's always going to respond. And it's just so cool. And I just appreciate you asking that question, because it's an encouragement for me to keep I want to take more steps today. You know, I want to be more expectant today. I don't want to just live on yesterday's expectancy. I want to be more expectant for what God has today.
Yeah, as you said that, it was just funny because I'm writing here. I'm just kind of journaling our conversation. And I was just thinking in my mind, I was like, God, what can you do today? Like, just show up. Like, you can do something awesome today. And I haven't even thought about it yet. And I think that's that relationship that obviously why Jesus died for us was to bring us back into relationship with the Father so we could have that hope and faith and expectation to say, Father, what are you doing today? I want to be part of it.
Exactly. Yeah. And just to know that you're part of a rescue mission, that he's got us here on earth for incredible purposes, and to just the amazing things he has for us. It's so cool. And just fires me up talking about it and thinking about it.
I want to go back, to your senior year. I've read some things, and some notes and, stuff out of your book. Now you can look back hindsight and see what God did and why he had you there as part of the football team. I believe there was some real highs and lows, I think, of you sharing your faith.
Yeah.
I think if I read right, there were some moments where you handed out Bibles or you did some things. You got rejected on that. Can you kind of talk about that? Because I know that God had you there for a reason, and I would love to hear and share it with our audience. Like, what was the outcome of some of that, of sharing your faith, and what happened?
Yeah, so almost from the moment I made the team, I had this deep sense in my heart and my soul that God had me there for a reason, that I was there for a purpose. And it was not the audible voice of God, but it was just a deep, deep sense kind of in my spirit that God had me there for a purpose. And so I was pressing into that almost from day one. I was like, okay, God, I'm ready. You know, like I'm ready to find my purpose here. Obviously, if he needed another football player for that team, he would have chosen someone else. You know, if he needed someone with better pedigree or bigger, faster, stronger, but he chose me for something, you know, and I knew that there was a reason that I was on that team that was far greater than I could have ever imagined at the time. And so I was pressing into that, and I got an idea. I need to start a Bible study for the team. So I get a Bible study lesson ready. I pass out flyers to all my teammates. I get the room ready, and the time comes for our first Bible study, and no one shows up. And so I was crushed. I was defeated. I was discouraged. And I'm kind of questioning, okay, God, I thought I was here for a purpose. Like, what the heck? So I kind of wrestled with that discouragement. And a couple weeks later, I get an idea that I need to start a prayer group for the team. Like, the Bible study thing didn't work, but maybe a prayer group. So I pass out flyers to all my teammates. The time comes for our first prayer meeting, and no one shows up. So there I am, twice as discouraged, twice as defeated. Man, I thought I was here for a purpose. Like, what the heck? And just kind of wrestling with just defeat, you know, wrestling with discouragement, which we all do, and we're, especially when we're on that path of I want to find my purpose here on earth. And it doesn't happen easy, you know. It just doesn't happen without hiccups and speed bumps and all that. And so it took me a little while to get through that discouragement. And then it hits me. I was reading in Matthew 5, it says, let your light shine before men. It hit me that lights just shine. And I didn't need to go create a Bible study. I didn't need to go create a prayer group, but I just needed to shine. I just needed to be a light among my teammates and just love them well and be a good friend and maybe have some good conversations with them. I don't know, see where it went. And so for the next several weeks, I just devoted myself to being a light, you know, just trying to have an impact on them just by my life, you know, and just be a positive person who was full of God's light, you know, and just his love and all that. And it was hard. I mean, there's not much time in a day to just connect with your teammate, you know. There's, you're going from class to meetings to practice, back to class at night, and then you got to do homework and weights are first thing in the morning, and there's just no time to just hang out and for me just to be a light, you know, just to try to build these good, solid friendships with my teammates, especially because I only had that 1 year and it was really hard. And so after a little while of just trying to be a light, there was nothing that was happening, and I was not seeing any fruit to any of that. And again, I'm questioning my purpose. I'm doubting if I even have a purpose on that team. And I'm just kind of defeated and discouraged. And so we're at the end of the season at this point, and we get chosen to play in the Rose Bowl. And that's on January 1st. And a couple weeks before the Rose Bowl, I get an idea that everyone on the team needs to get a Bible. I had just read in Isaiah 55 that if his word goes out, it does not come back empty. And so I was like, okay, God is always faithful to his promises. And this is a promise. Like if his word goes out, it won't come back empty. And so I got 100 Bibles and I placed one in every locker with a note sticking out of it that said, the greatest gift you'll ever receive, the gift of Jesus Christ. Placed the Bible in every locker and I couldn't wait to see the fruit of this. I mean, this was my purpose. I was so sure of it. You know, like I'd been through all that defeat, all that discouragement, and I had finally found my purpose. And God had brought me through it all, and here we were. I had made it to the end of the season, and this was my purpose. I had put his word out there, and it was not going to come back empty. And so I did that on Christmas Eve, middle of the night, because I didn't want anyone to know that it was me. I just wanted to kind of be anonymous, and I was tired of being the Christian guy that kept getting rejected and defeated. And so this was totally anonymous, and we had Christmas Day off, and I couldn't wait to get there on the 26th of December because like I finally get to see the fulfillment of my purpose of being on that team. And so, I mean, my mind is just, talk about expectancy. I mean, my mind, I'm just expecting like hallelujah chorus to be singing in the locker room, you know, like gold light.
I'm just laughing because you're setting this thing up, dude. I know where it's going, man.
And so I'm just like so fired up and like I'm expecting like revival to break out on the team, you know, like I'm so excited. And I'd been through so much heartache and so much defeat that God had brought me to this point to see the fulfillment of my purpose. And I pulled the door of the locker room, pulled it open. It was crushing. I mean, I see Bibles just shredded all over the floor. I had never seen a Bible shredded before. Just pages just ripped up, thrown all over the floor. You could barely even see the carpet. It was just shredded pages of Bibles everywhere. And so obviously, I mean, I'm just absolutely destroyed. I mean, I had poured everything into this whole season, into trying to find my purpose. I tried the Bible study. I tried the prayer group. I tried to be a light. And here I tried to pass Bibles out, try to put his word out there, and everything came back empty. Everything had failed. And so I'm so discouraged and just at the lowest low. And go through the rest of that week, and we win the Rose Bowl, which was really fun, but I still felt like I'd missed something. I'd missed my purpose and being on that team. A couple days after the game, I get a phone call telling me that my teammate Mario, he was our kicker on the team, that he had mysteriously died in the middle of the night. And so I was crushed, absolutely destroyed, just grieving deep in my soul that a teammate of mine, one of my closest friends on the team, 21 years old, had passed away. And it was just crushing. I was just, it was like life couldn't go on anymore. I mean, I had faced all this defeat and discouragement of trying to find my purpose and failing. And then now I'm dealing with the death of a friend and a teammate. It was brutal. And so we go to the funeral a few days later, and a bunch of our offensive linemen are carrying his casket down the center aisle. And on top of the casket is the Bible that I placed in his locker with the red note still sticking out of it. And I saw that, and it just felt like God's personal touch for me to comfort me in that time. And it was incredible. It was just an incredible moment for me to know that God saw me. You know, God had seen me in those moments of defeat and discouragement, and he just gave me a little nudge right there that everything was okay. And it just helped me get through that grieving process. And then 4 years later, I've worked at USC for the next 3 years, and 4 years later, I move up to Seattle to continue to work for Coach Carroll with the Seahawks. And I run into a teammate of mine at a Young Life event, and I hadn't seen him since Mario's funeral. He was our punter on the team, and we are reconnecting. It's kind of weird to see someone that you hadn't seen in 4 years, and we're kind of catching up on life super fast. And he starts telling me that his life had totally turned around in the last couple of years. And I was like, well, what happened? He's like, well, do you remember the last week we were on the team together, our Bibles in all of our lockers? And I was just like, what the heck? No way. And so I kind of played dumb. And yeah. And so he starts telling me that he was going out to practice that day, kind of just discarded his Bible, didn't think much of it. And he's going out to practice that day and pushing the door to go out to the field. And he hears a voice in the back corner of the locker room. And he turns around. He thought he was the last one to leave. And there's Mario, our kicker, sitting in his locker, thumbing through the Bible, going, what is this? And so there, Taylor, our punter, turns around. And he's telling me that he walks back and sits down next to Mario. and for 45 minutes takes him through the Bible and shares the gospel with him. And there, Mario, in the next few days, he'd started to read the Bible more and more and just started to ask questions more and more. And just in a few days' time, he started a relationship with Jesus just days before he passed away. And so Taylor is eyewitness, kind of front row seat to all this, and he's Mario's best friend and gets to watch all this unfold. And it changes his life because it kind of reinvigorates his relationship with God and just all these things that play out. And Taylor's telling me this, and I'm just blown away. I mean, I can't even believe it. It's just far beyond anything I could ever fathom. And he's telling me this. I'm on the verge of tears, and he's like, isn't that the craziest story? And I'm like, there's literally no crazier story that I've ever heard. And it's even crazier because I was the one that put the Bibles in the lockers and I thought it was a total failure. And so, I mean, we both just lost it and gave each other a big hug. And it's just crazy. I mean, that's just only our God. Only our God could do something like that to save the life of someone who's about to die and to turn around another guy's life. And then to tell me 4 years later, just to encourage me to know that everything was not in vain, you know, that his word did not come back empty, that it really was fulfilled. And who knows what else is happening? You know, that's just one story and God is just constantly at work. So yeah, it's just amazing. That's only our God.
I'm glad we're not doing video right now, 'cause I'm totally in tears, which is going to be cheesy for some, but and the reason I'm in tears, man, I was just thinking, like, how much God loves us. Like, I know that it was not God's intent or purpose for your friend to die, but he knew he was going to.
Yeah.
And in that, he the compassion and the love for the Father was so much for your friend that he led you and the other guy to minister to him. And just to share that because he knew what was going to happen. And that's what I just love so much, that I think people sometimes view God just with the wrong glasses on in a distorted way. Yeah. And they just don't realize how much compassion and love, no matter where we're at in our life, he is constantly pursuing us. There's a song by Jesus Culture that I listen to a lot that I love. It's called Your Love is Fierce.
Yeah.
And I just think about that, like he is just constantly just coming after us. Kind of like I think of the analogy of going back when the offense went on kickoff and those guys are running down the field pursuing. They have one purpose, and that's to pursue the guy that has the ball.
Yeah.
And that's like the Father coming after us. It's like just one purpose, and he's coming after us because he wants us to know how much we're loved.
You're giving me goosebumps over here. That's amazing. That's so true. And then it's just crazy to think about kind of the personal touch of God, just to, like you mentioned, like he had so much love for Mario, our kicker, right before he was going to die. He's chasing after him. He's pursuing him. But then the bigness of God too, you know, and the combination of those, the bigness of God to stir in me 4 years earlier to start being a sports writer so that 4 years later I could try out for the football team, to write a story for the school newspaper, and just the bigness of God to coordinate everything just so that he could save one person. And who knows how many other people will be encouraged or saved by hearing a story like this. I mean, it's incredible to know that God is so personally invested in our lives, but yet has the bigness to achieve whatever he wants to do. And it's just so cool.
Yeah, I love it.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper and deeper in credit card debt and you're not sure how to fix the problem? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management is a nonprofit organization that will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest rates by as much as 60%, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. It's not a loan. It's a smart way to relieve your stress, meet your obligations, and preserve your self-respect. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis, 1-800-741-8205. Again, that number, 1-800-741-8205. You don't want to miss this opportunity. Give us a call today.
I want to ask you, what do you feel like through going through all of this, through writing, getting to work? Oh, you know what? And I'm curious, too. I want to back up real quick. I want to ask you about your strengths. But going through all this, did Coach Carroll ever know anything about this, or ever were you able to ever share any of this with him, or does he know any of it?
He didn't know in the time. Only the players were known about the Bibles and all that. I mean, it was only in the players' locker room. But he's heard the story many times since then. It's been really cool to have him hear that story and to know that he's a part of a huge purpose.
Yeah. I mean, has he ever said anything to you about that? Like just being inspired by it, or your story, or it touched him, or I'm just.
Yeah. I mean, he's been an incredible support, incredible fan. It's just really cool that the relationship that we have, the friendship that we have. He's a mentor, father figure to me, and just for me to be able to encourage him and help him. It's been awesome. Yeah.
That's really cool. Okay, so through the process of all this, of writing and doing all the things that you're doing and being an assistant, what do you feel like your biggest strength is that you utilize that you feel like the Lord has given you?
Well, that's a really good question. What I'm first of all thinking of is just consistency and just kind of having like a steadfastness. And that doesn't mean that I don't have my ups and downs. I mean, I'm not flatlining over here at all, but just being consistent and just being kind of the same person every day, that you know what you're going to get. And I think a lot of that comes from my relationship with Jesus. I mean, I think that's all credited to that he is the most consistent. I mean, he's the same yesterday and today and tomorrow and forever. And just the more I get to know him and the more I fall in love with him, the more his life manifests itself in me. And that's just what I crave and desire more in my life, is more steadfastness, more faithfulness, more consistency. And I think it's one of my favorite strengths in anyone, is just when you can rely on someone and when they're trustworthy and when they're consistent.
Give me an example, kind of like how you live that out every day, like maybe in relationships or work or different things. Well,
at work, I mean, it plays out in huge ways, because in the football season, you have ups and downs. I mean, you win a game, you lose a game, you have an injury, whatever it may be. And then, I mean, even take a couple years ago, we win the Super Bowl 43-8, beat the Broncos. And then exactly a year later, we lose the Super Bowl on the 1 yard line, throwing an interception in the end zone. And to be able to be consistent and to be able to be steadfast and not let external circumstances change your identity or change who you are deep down in your soul. I think there's just such strength and power in that. And that doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean that when you are faced with a challenge or faced with something that's really hard or whatever it may be, it still hurts, you know, and you still face just the hard things in life, and you still have your ups and downs, but it doesn't rock you. It doesn't change your identity. It doesn't change the way you treat people. And there's something special about that.
No, man, I love what you said. I know I hacked it when I wrote it down, but talking about don't let external circumstances change who you are or control your emotions. I love that, man, because especially in a culture, in a time that we live in, where people are so hyper emotional about stuff,
yeah,
or like something happens, but when you're grounded in the Word, and like you said, when you know who you are and your identity, external things can happen, but you're still rooted in who you are, and you can just press through that.
Exactly. Yeah. And you don't let those circumstances dictate who you are. You don't let those things change your identity, because your identity is rock solid. Your identity, when you follow Jesus, when you give your life to him, he gives you his identity, and he gives you this incredible identity that you get to live into and out of for the rest of your life. And you don't have to go accomplish things to fulfill your identity, or you don't have to go let circumstances determine your identity, but God just gives you this amazing identity, and there's nothing better.
Absolutely. Okay, what do you feel like your biggest weakness is?
Wow, That is now we're getting real here.
Yeah, there's two things. Whereas sometimes I find that there's an over an extension of a strength that can be a weakness that we find a lot, or sometimes there's just a weakness and we realize that we have it, but we're aware of it and we try to, I guess, be aware of it and try to work through it.
Yeah. I mean, I can think of dozens of weaknesses right now. The one that's kind of shining out to me right now is the most is that I try to do too much and I don't take care of myself and just try to, I think I can sometimes take God off the throne and put myself on the throne and think that if I do enough, I'll feel good, I'll be in a good place, be able to sleep better at night, whatever it may be. But just instead of just surrendering and instead of receiving like a child, like he calls us to be, I find myself trying to help too much, trying to do too much, trying to control my situations, whatever it may be. And it ends up hurting me in the long run because I'll end up being drained. I'll be empty. I'll be tired. In a really unhealthy way. And that messes with your emotions. It messes with your sleep, messes with your thinking. I mean, just everything. And so, it's kind of an umbrella theme right there, but I guess it's just probably control that, I try to take control and I don't let him have control.
I feel you on that one. Good thing he's a lot better at it than we are, right?
Seriously. And good thing he has grace too. He doesn't like hold it against us. Like, oh man, like you took control again today. I'm going to punish you for that. No, he's just like constantly welcoming us back. Like, no, let me be on the throne. Like, let me do it. It's way better this way. And it's just, he loves us so much. It's amazing.
You know what I love about my relationship with the Lord sometimes is there's just kind of humor, maybe a sarcasm, but there's times I get in those situations and I can just hear the Lord saying just like, so how's that working for you?
Yeah.
And then it's just like, it's a moment that I can sit back and laugh because I know what he's saying. And I'm like, well, it's really not working out at all. And that's what I love. I love that. So
cool. I feel that all the time too.
What is the biggest thing that you feel like God's stirring in you right now? And I'm going to assume it's probably your book. That's a pretty big deal, to go from where you started. Do you want to talk a little bit about the process maybe of your book and like how that came out and maybe, just the start to finish of how that started?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for the opportunity. The book, I'd shared this story and bits and pieces of this story to groups for years. I mean, after everything kind of came together many years ago with Taylor and Mario and all the fruition of the story, I realized that this God had given me this incredible story to encourage people. It wasn't just for me. And so I started to share it. And almost every time I shared it, I had people that were like, oh, can I buy your book? And so I was like, well, I don't have a book. I just have this talk, you know? And so, it just kind of stirred in me, especially with my writing background. It just felt like God was stirring in me and kind of nudging me to write this book. And I got connected with, a ghostwriter, kind of a collaborator. Her name is Patty, and she helped kind of put everything together. And this book wouldn't have happened without her. And I'm eternally grateful for the way that she helped make this happen. And and so that was 2 years ago, and here we are. Book is out, and it's just so exciting, called Walk On. And it's just been so cool to know that God is encouraging people through this book, and that really it's so cool because people are so moved by stories. And when you hear a good story, it sticks with you. I know I can recall so many stories in my life that people shared with me, that I've experienced, whatever it may be. And those stories really stick with you in a different way than facts do, or just kind of knowledge or textbook stuff does, you know. But when you hear a story, it kind of echoes in your heart and it really boosts you and really pushes you on. And that's why we're attracted to movies. That's why we love reading books. That's why just we love sitting down around a fire, sitting down around a dinner table and sharing stories, is because there's something special about stories. And really, that's what the Bible is. It's a collection of stories that point to Jesus and point to God. And I just hope, and my hope throughout this whole process is that this book is a story that encourages people and really points them to the fact that, that God wants to write an incredible story through them, through their lives. And he's doing something great through all of this.
Well, I don't know if I'm speaking prophetically, who knows, but I almost see your book is like the next Rudy or Facing the Giants type book, man, because it really is a story like that where it's just, it's inspirational. It just shows you that you can just step out in faith and not even knowing what your purpose is, but you're willing to say, okay, God, I don't know what you have for me, but I'm excited. I'm just going to do it until you show up, and have a level of expectancy. And through that, people's lives are changed. This is what I love. People's lives were changed in the pursuit of you finding your purpose.
Amen. Amen. And that's the truth. And the number one person whose life was changed was mine. Yeah. And that's the beautiful thing about it, is that as we all point ourselves to Jesus and just say, Jesus, what's my purpose? Like, what do you have for me? And it doesn't have to be, what's my life's purpose? Like, what's going to happen in the next 50 years or 10 years, whatever it is. It's like, what's my purpose today? And as you do that, it just stirs up this incredible relationship with Jesus, that you're walking with him just step by step. And that he's just continually putting people in your path, that he's stirring, he's nudging something in your heart. Why don't you go get some Bibles? Or why don't you go, whatever it is, you know, and just stirring up in you and just nudging you along the way as you take those little steps of faith. And to know that along the way, you'll find your purpose that he had for you, and you'll also be a changed person for the better.
Absolutely. You know, it was funny you talk about that. I was just thinking of a quick story, but the other day I pulled over at this gas station, and I was kind of annoyed. There was this attendant out there. It was like a self-serve gas station, but he was just there to help. And he walked by, and I just kind of immediately let me back up real quick. Like, I was planning on going to another gas station because I was going to use my gas card, but it didn't work out. So I just happened to end up at this one. Yeah. And this guy walks up to me, and I'm automatically annoyed because I can smell the alcohol on him from like 5 feet away.
Oh boy.
And I'm like, great, man. And I just have about zero tolerance for it sometimes. And I was just like, I was kind of annoyed already, but I was like, you know, I'm just going to talk to the guy, ask him how he was doing. And he starts sharing a story with me, how his wife had just recently died. He lost everything. Then his father-in-law died like 2 months after that. So he moved to Amarillo, and he was just really depressed. And I was just thinking to myself, I thought, you know, you judge this guy, and I'm guilty of it. And the Lord just showed me, said, I brought you here to pray for him.
Wow.
And I was just like, duh. And so anyways, I was able to sit there and listen to his story, encourage him. And then I was able to I said, man, can I pray with you? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. And I just got to pray over him and just ask the Lord, you know, to bless him and to encourage him and give him peace and hope and those things. And I just thought it was funny, just, you know, I'm always willing, but sometimes I'm not purposeful.
Yeah, yeah.
And just how I showed up, and it allowed the opportunity that somebody like that was so discouraged that day, but I was able to step into somebody's life and just at least give them a glimpse of hope. And ask the Lord to surround them and to give them peace. Because, you know, what I didn't realize is maybe the reason he was drinking or so drunk is because he was so depressed about losing his wife. And, you know, it's easy to judge on the external, but then when you hear people's stories on the inside, you realize, you know, why.
Totally. Yeah. And it's just, that's just so cool, because the way that God is going to use that in that guy's life is just far beyond anything we could ever imagine. Like, you probably won't ever see the fruit of that conversation until we get to heaven, you know, and to know that God is working in that guy's life. And maybe that stirred something up in him where he's turning his life around right now. Or maybe God just is pouring unmerited favor on him right now and blessing him and his life. And it's just so cool, because that wouldn't have happened if you didn't just say, oh, like, God brought me here to pray for him. And first of all, for you to listen to his story is just so cool. I mean, that's just so powerful. Like, just think if we all just went around and listened to each other's stories. Like, we've all got a story today. We've all got something going on. And it's such an act of love when we can just say, hey, tell me your story. What's going on? You know, and that leads to this incredible purpose that you were finding there in those moments. Just so cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm into that. Okay, so do you have like a resource or a life hack or something fun that you want to share with our audience?
Oh, man. Dan, that's one of the most recent things I did was I took away all the clocks in my room. I don't wear a watch. I try not to look at my phone for the time as much. But like taking away the clocks, and this is kind of a weird, I don't know if this is where you're going, but I took away these clocks, and then I'm living in this like state of kind of like timelessness. And like, obviously we got things to do, and that's what those little alerts are on your phone are for and all that. But just living in the state of timelessness, it's changed my relationship with God in such a cool way, because I'm not controlling my moments. You know, I'm not like, okay, I've got 5 minutes to read. I've got 5 minutes to pray. You know, it's like, I'm just going to kind of be timeless here. And there's just like this sweetness about it. Because God dwells outside of time, and he gives us time as a gift in a lot of ways so that we can figure out how we're going to coordinate life and understand the moments and everything. But there's something really cool about just living in the state of timelessness. And I read this daily devotional that I'm sure many of your listeners read too. It's called Jesus Calling. And it's kind of a theme throughout Jesus Calling of kind of being, meet me in a state of timelessness. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to take practical steps, and I'm going to take away my clocks. I don't have a clock in my room, don't have it in our living room anymore. And just stuff like that. And it's been a cool change. So I don't know if that's where you're going with that question.
Yeah. No, I think that's fun. Yeah. I think that's something that it'd be fun to try, at least even for a day.
Yeah.
Just to see the outcome of what God does.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really fun.
All right. So, Ben, I'm going to ask you my biggest question that I ask everybody.
Yeah.
You get to go back to a younger version of you, and you're going to give yourself a pep talk or advice. You can't change the future. You can't even tell yourself the future, but you're going to just encourage yourself for what you know is to come. What age would you go back to, and what advice would you give yourself?
Whoa. John, you are amazing at these questions. Wow. This is, wow. The person I was thinking of when you're asking this question was, I wish I could go back to, me as a 21 year old, right when I made the team, just so that I could handle that discouragement, that was coming that season. And I would tell myself what I tell myself today, as I continue to battle those challenges of just trying to find my purpose day in and day out. And it's a verse from Habakkuk 1:5, and it's this tiny little book in the back of the Old Testament. And it says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm doing something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. And I just would encourage myself. I'd say, hey, God's doing something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. And that, I mean, even if he told you right now, you wouldn't believe it. That's how great it is. That's how cool it is. And so just to keep the faith and keep pointing yourself to Jesus, keep knowing that he does have a purpose, that he is going to fulfill the purpose that he has for you. And just to not let defeat and discouragement rock you, because it definitely rocked me in those times where I was really knocked off course a little bit and just kind of depressed in a way, just kind of doubting and just kind of sloshing my way through life. And I would just continue to encourage myself, God is doing something in your days you would not believe even if you were told. And so just to keep the faith, keep taking those little steps of faith, and to know that God has an amazing purpose.
I love it, man. That is great. So I want to ask you one last thing.
Yeah.
That's the advice that you give yourself. But my question would be, what advice through what you've gone through, what you've seen the Lord do in your life, the ups and downs, what advice would you give our audience maybe that's going through even that locker room experience where people, you're discouraged there, or even some of your highs that you've gone through? What advice would you give the audience?
Yeah, I just continue to think about how God desires to write incredible stories in each of our lives, that he doesn't just choose certain people to write cool stories with their lives, but that he wants to do amazing things in each of our lives. And it's exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine, that even in our wildest dreams, in the times when we're dreaming the biggest about our lives, that God's dreams are way bigger. And so I just, whether you're facing defeat, whether you're facing discouragement, or you're in a really good spot and you're seeing the fulfillment of your purpose, just to know that God has even greater things for us. Whether you're in a low spot or a high spot right now, that God is constantly taking us from glory to glory, that he's taking us to another great thing next. And if you're in a hard spot right now, to know that God is taking you out of it, and that he does have a purpose for this hard spot, and that he will redeem it. And if you're in a good spot and you're just living life and loving it and finding your purpose, then to know that God has even greater things for you, that just there's more out there for you. And so, yeah, I love that, because I'm preaching this to myself more than anyone. And so, yeah, thanks so much, John. I really appreciate that.
Getting encouraged, man. I love it. Okay. So Ben, if we want to have you speak at an event, please tell us the name of your book, where to get it, and how to get a hold of you, website, all that stuff. If we want to have you come speak and buy your book.
Yeah. So the book is called Walk On, and it's available in all major booksellers online and in stores. And, my website, benmalcolmson.com, and on all social media, just my handle is Ben Malcolmson. So look forward to connecting with everyone, and hopefully you get a chance to read the book, the story there. There's obviously way more in a book than I could share here in this podcast, but I hope you're encouraged by it and to know that God is doing some really cool things.
Amen. Roar Nation, I want to tell you guys this. I love Ben's publishing company. They're great to work with. I've become friends with one of the publicists, but they always give us free books to give away. So I want to tell you guys this. The first five people that share this post, because we'll have a Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, if you guys will go in there and share these posts with your friends, write something about it, leave a review. But you got to let me know about it. So you got to send me back a message and say you did it. My wife will be sending out free books to you guys. So I encourage you to do that. You'd be really surprised. We get hundreds of thousands of downloads, and people still only get a handful of people that will actually do this. So you got a really good chance. So be surprised. Well, man, Ben, I just want to thank you so much for your heart. I really do. I love your heart. I can just tell that God has just done, you're humble, and God's done great things in your life. And I appreciate that about people like you, because I think what it does is it shows people how good and how loving God can be in our lives by just laying down our agenda and just laying down who we are and just allowing him to show up. So I want to honor you and thank you for that.
Thank you so much, John. Keep up the great work. You're doing amazing work, and it's just an honor to be connected with you.
Roar Nation, I hope you guys enjoyed this. I love these stories. This is what life is about. It's about your story. It's about what God's doing in your life. It's about where you've been and where God is taking you to. And that's what I love about stories like Ben, is because God's doing huge things in a big way, and he wants you to be part of it. So if you guys need help, you need encouragement, if you're looking for purpose, please get on our website, areyoureal.org. We have a free download of a book, and if you're interested in finding purpose, we have a course that's about to release. So go ahead and Facebook message us on that, and we'll send you some information on that as well. So Roar Nation, we love you. Remember, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to areyoureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.